Hallelujah. The three Hebrew children were thrown into the lake of fire. It did not burn them. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Let's read it. Another assurance for us. The second death, the Bible tells us. If you read it in verse 6, hallelujah. The second death, there is the first death, and there is the second death. It has no power over us. Who shall overcome? It has no power over us. And he said, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power. But what happened? They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him. How long? 1,000 years. And that's exactly what the promotion of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was telling us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist refused to withhold his mouth from speaking the truth. He could look at Herod and told him straight, publicly, that it was wrong, even according to the law, that you will take your brother Philip's wife, Herodia. You are coming here, and then and with your abomination, spoke to a king like that, that has power to finish you, while all the scribes and Pharisees kept quiet for fear. There was a man whose obligation was to say the truth, and he will not, because of fear, close his mouth. Yes, what do you say? It cost him his life. His head was cut off. But Jesus Christ came and said, among all men born of women, he said, none has been greater than John the Baptist. He said, who did you go for to see? A prophet? He said, that man was more than a prophet. He's more than a prophet. And the position he occupies today, blessed be the name of the Lord, Herod will never near it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees will never near it. Praise the Lord. Because this same man in this our age, William Marion Branham, he had the opportunity to make any amount of money he wanted with his gift. He was ministering the same time with Oral Roberts and all the rest, who were multimillionaires and own estates and own universities and own the whole world, had the fame and everything. He was ministry. He could have gone that way. Hallelujah. But he chose rather the rough way. I listened to that tape, and that prophecy came forth concerning him. And that because you have chosen the rough way, you have chosen that narrow way, he said, a large portion of heaven await thee. That was his comfort. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I believe he was the one Rick Jonah was referring to when the Lord Jesus Christ took him in the spirit to see certain things. One of the apostles, they were scared. They were beaten. They suffered martyrdom. Exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 10. I don't know whether some of you have ever gone through to know what these apostles went through. Let's look at 13 of them, including Apostle Paul. Matthew, this is what they went through. Matthew, he said he suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia. He was killed by the wound of a sword. All for the name of Christ's sake. Mark, he died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. He was hanged. They hanged him like a criminal. John, he faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. They put him inside hot oil. Oil that was boiling. They put a human being inside to fry him. Alive. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos, where he wrote his prophetic book of Revelation. The apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as bishop of Edessa in modern day Turkey. He died as an old man. He's the only apostle that died peacefully. But before that death, you know what he went through. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. According to church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die the same way that Jesus Christ had died. They wanted to hang him on the cross. He said, no, please, let them turn the cross upside down and turn him. He died upside down. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. High is that they threw him down from that high mountain. What for? Because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. James, the son of Zebedee, he was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was beheaded at Jerusalem. They cut off his head. The Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of crucifixion, to the place of execution. Overcome by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt before James to accept beheading as a Christian. He saw something. At the point of death, they were going to kill James. The same guard, the soldier that was guarding him, was amazed. So he too, he went and knelt down before those executing James, said, execute me also. I will serve the God of this man. Oh, praise the Lord. Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed our Lord in present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred in his preaching in Armenia, where he was flayed to death by a whip. And Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severally by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led towards the cross, Andrew saluted in these words, quote, I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it, on cross, on quote. He has been looking forward to the day he will die that type of death. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then he was beheaded. Finally, Apostle Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament. That is what the apostles went through. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord, I change it not. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you will follow me, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. And do you think that it was in vain they took other stands? they did not take those stands in vain. Because those disciples formed part of the 24 elders that we see in Revelation chapter 4 before the throne of grace, the throne of God. Highly exalted, and they are before the throne today. And they formed the foundation of the new city, Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not only them, see this group. Because after the apostles, so many others went the same way. In Revelation chapter 7, let's read it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, from verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, hallelujah, from verse 9. This is the way he put it. What John saw in that vision. After this, I beheld, listen, see very well, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, hallelujah, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what? White robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, listen, I want to emphasize that verse 9 again. How many were there? It says that there were a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, Christ himself, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which seated upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes from all nations, from all kindreds, from all people, from all tongues? And whence came they? Who are they? Verse 14 is the answer. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen. He didn't say, listen very well, that verse 14. They came out of great tribulation. It's different from the great tribulation. There is great tribulation referring here. It's different from the great tribulation. The great tribulation will be fulfilled in answer to verse 11 of chapter 6. Just for Bible study knowledge, know this, is so that when we are reading, you understand why I want to emphasize that place. Listen, when the fifth seal was opened, the fifth seal was opened in verse 9, and when he had, I'm reading chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. They were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Who are these in the fifth seal? They were the Jews. They were killed for the word of God. Which word of God? The prophecies concerning Israel. And there are those 6 million Jews that were persecuted during the Second World War. Why were they killed? They were killed simply because they were Jews. That's all. And he said they should raise a white because another group is going to be killed in the same way they were killed. And when will they be killed? They will be killed in the last 3.5 years of Daniel's last week that is left for the revival of Israel. Praise the Lord. For 3.5 years, and that takes place after the rapture has taken place. That is the great tribulation that Jeremiah also referred to it as the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the great tribulation that the Antichrist will unleash on the Jews, who will refuse to take the mark of the beast. And they will be killed. And they will be persecuted. We see that. Hallelujah. Spread all around. In our Bible study, we saw it there. The last 3.5 years. But where we are referring to here, in verse 14, he said, these are they, in chapter 7, those that are wearing white robes. He said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb here is talking about those who were under grace. The Jews is for the word of God. But these ones is for, they wash themselves with the blood, because here they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Now these are believers in all the ages. And why I'm stressing this, because this is not only for you. There are millions, millions upon millions of people that in their day, they went through persecution for their stand. And in this age too, there will be the group that will come from this age that we are in, that will join that number. Hallelujah. And the history of martyrdom, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, a book titled The Fox's Book of Martyrs. Get it and read and see what believers went through. Hallelujah. A little of it is in Hebrews chapter 11. A little of it in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 36. It says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourges. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder with sword. We are tempted. We are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, even they did not even receive the promise yet. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, waiting for us to come and join them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In this age, there are elements in this age that will join those multitudes. How many will be among? Okay. Hallelujah. The truth is this. If you have received the Holy Ghost and you have received eternal life, if it's a genuine salvation, all of us, we have that history. Am I scaring you? I am not scaring you. I am preparing your mind to face it, so that you will stand knowing that nothing is coming to you that is strange, and that it is a pathway that has been designed for us. Prosperity, we shall prosper. We shall prosper. Oh, glory be to God. But there is the prosperity of the wicked and there is the prosperity of the righteous. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 15. That's the reason why, therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. See the result. See the reward. Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But those of you who, because of fear of death, oh, see what this group, ISIS, are doing with believers in the Middle East. Some of you saw the videos. They will do it and post it on the net. And it will be circulated everywhere to see Christians being murdered, killed, persecuted, beheaded, as if they are killing animals in an abattoir. What for? Because they are Christians. And all they tell those people is, bow and follow our Islamic faith. That's all. And even though they know they will kill them, they still stand in the Middle East, in the midst of danger. Can't you see how lucky some of us are that we are in this part of the world now? Your own, you have not even resisted unto death. Your own is only hunger. It's only house rental. It's only accommodation. No. It's only sickness. So, one small threat, you will bow. And you expect to receive the same crown with that type of people. Revelation chapter 21. See where you will end up. Those of you who fear, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell among with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, all the tribulations, are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the promise. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful. You fear, that's why you bow now. You are afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. That's why the Jews, you were bowing. And unbelieving. The unbelievers. And this unbelieving is not talking about people in the world, though. It's talking about people who have heard the gospel, but they are toying with their salvation. Do you believe that Bible you are holding, when you live all your life contrary to what that Bible is saying? You are an unbeliever. You know you are an unbeliever. You know you are an unbeliever. You are holding that Bible and you hear what God spoke concerning where sinners are going to end up, and every abomination there you are involved. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, there are people that are holding Bible, claiming Christians, and involved. Some of them are pastors. Some of them are apostles. Some of them are prophets. Some of them are evangelists, ministers of God, and yet involved in all manner of abominations. There are preachers that belong to cults. There are people that go to enhance their powers. There are preachers that are homosexuals. There are preachers that are fornicators, adulterers. There are preachers that live all manner of lascivious lifestyle. They are there and they are holding to the Bible. The Bible looks at you as an abominable group of people. and murderers. Murderers include people who just hate somebody for nothing and they are holding Bible. Out of jealousy, you hate a brother, you hate a sister, God looks at you as a murderer. He's not talking about those unbelievers that are beheading people there. Their own is already settled. That is the reason why hell has enlarged her coasts. He's talking about those of us who are we say we are Christians, we are ministers, we are this, we are that. We are Christians. We are Christians, yet you belong to a cult. You belong to secret society. You are Christians. You are elder in the church. But you are a member of all fraternities. You are now abominable. Abomination for you who claim you are a Christian musician. And then you go and play in the church on Sunday and Friday night and Saturday night. You are in a nightclub. Abomination for all those preachers who will come and desecrate the holy temple of God and bring clowns, jesters, comedians to stand at the pulpit and make jest and profane holy things and make jest of Christ that suffered on the cross on Calvary and make it a sin of humor and make all the nonsense. It is abomination. God will judge all of you that do that. God will judge all of you. Repent. Stop that nonsense. It makes me want to cry what the devil has done with Christianity in this age. Have you ever seen a nightclub? Have you ever seen a nightclub? See, I've never gone to a nightclub before. I never gone to that club before. Even Onya know they talk. See Onya. You never gone to that club before. Eh? Sopru. You look like a person where they caught before, sir. Hallelujah. No, very seriously. Hallelujah. I was trying to reserve this till the day we will dedicate this church. But I can drop this now. So that you understand this abominable we are talking about. See, there is something that is going on. It pains my heart. I am saying this not to sound humble or more Christian than Christ. I am telling you, there is something knowledge does. What do you think we have activists? Activists that will risk their lives. And speak against the order of the day. They risk their lives. There is something they know and it pains them. See, if you have ever gone to a nightclub, you will understand. Go to a church these days. Go to any church these days. Google and see it. Look at the television. You look at that church. All the settings in the nightclub, they have brought the same effect to auditorium for worship. All those disco lights, they have brought them. Listen, there are two things that the devil has done on the Christian faith. Permit me to say something. Hallelujah. I know why I say these things. Some of these pastors don't know what they are doing. Just follow. Some of them will hear me and repent. There are two things that have happened to the Christian faith. One, that is why the Bible speaks about you adulterers and adulteresses, James. And he was talking about, he said, don't you know that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? So there is spiritual fornication that is going on. Spiritual fornication is not jumping from one church to the other. It's a lie. They use it to tie you to their church. You are free to go to any church. The body of Christ is everywhere. You are free to go anywhere and worship. It's not spiritual fornication. It's not. This is spiritual fornication. It started with the Catholic Church in AD 325, that Christianity was got married to paganism. All that you see. Listen, I'm saying something very seriously here that idol worship mixed with the Christian faith, and to make it proper marriage, shrines, pagan rites, we are given Christian names. Celebration that were done by pagans was given Christian names, including Easter, including Christmas. The worship of that woman, Semiramis, became the worship of Mary, the mother of God. And you know that Semiramis had a shrine. And you know that in every Catholic setting, you will see that shrine of that woman. That they give a Christian name called Mary, Mother of God. And what do? When the Bible forbids us to raise any image and bow before it, it's there in the Bible. They go there and bow before it. When there is only one mediator between God and man, hallelujah, they have brought all the gods, the hidden gods, God of fertility, God of harvest, God of fruitfulness, God of this, God of that, God of this, and they change them to sent this, sent that, sent this, the scent of this, the scent of this, the scent of that, and then they go to the Father through these mediums. And people are thinking that is Christianity. And in all their setting, there are shrines. In all places of worship, there are shrines, that places in that place that is hallowed. They are hallowed and they have all the form of images that are kept there. Hallelujah. And they call them altars. They gave the name of shrine. They gave it altar. They now call shrine altar. And so, you go to some of these churches, that these Orthodox churches that broke out from the Catholic faith, the Catholicism, they have shrines that they call altar. Have you ever taken a look at the altar of a Catholic church and see the images? You will think truly the picture presented is that there is one special power there. And when you see all the ceremony, the incense, and all the things that are oil, and everything there, and all the ceremony, and all the paraphernalia that are decorated there. When you are coming there, you are careful. You are careful. And so, open my eyes that I may see. Oh, glimpses of truth that has for me. Oh, place in my hand the wonderful key. Oh, that shall unclasp and set me free. Oh, Lord, silently now. Oh, I wait for
ready, my God.
Oh, ready, my God. Thy will be.
Open my eyes.
Oh. Understanding, he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our Lord. Oh, let's expose the nonsense that is going on in Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not against your church. I'm not against your church. There is no bride assembly in heaven. There is no choosing church in heaven. There is no Catholic church in heaven. The only thing there is the church of Jesus Christ. That's the only church that is there. There is no other gathering here. we are only for identification. We are identification here. If you are fighting for your church, it's evidence you are also in bondage. You are in bondage. You are in bondage. Oh, you are in bondage. If you like, go and fight for Pride Assembly or fight for Pastor Moses Alu. You are finished. You are finished. Listen, church. Hallelujah. And before you know what, there are shrines in the church. They call altar. How do we know? The emphasis that is given to this place. Do you know that in some churches, apart from the pastor, nobody climbs there? Eh? Nobody comes. If pastor travel, they will put ribbon. Nobody must come near there. Why? Because it is not an altar, it is a shrine. Look at the decorations they put there. Look at the decorations they put there. Then, secondly now, the Pentecostals. So, there is a marriage with paganism. Then, the second group at the marriage with the world. Fashion. And so, smartly, disco hall has been imported into the church by the Pentecostals. Come and see lighting effects at the altar. Until now, there is a light engineer. They have light engineer. And then before you know what, if you have ever gone to nightclub, when the heat is on, the heat is on. What are they looking at me like? I said, I've never gone to a nightclub before. Eh? Eh? Hallelujah. Then before you know what, they will release smoke. Smoke, then the thing will cover all of you. Cover all of you. That thing has been imported to the church. Before you know what, at the altar. Hallelujah. The altar has now been reduced to what do they call it these people now for occasion where they do all manner of things there. You know, they do all manner of things there. If you have ever gone to a nightclub, then go to the modern day Pentecostal churches. And then you will see what I mean. And now we are building this place. And people have been coming to me. Concerning our altar. So I called all of them, these musicians, because Nadem, my chief advisor for altar. Then I called the ministers. I said, listen, all that thing you see in those churches will not be in this church. Praise the Lord. Number one, I told God, it was by prophecy. It is by prophecy that we put that chair there. Father, you know the Bible also says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We don't want that chair there again. I ordered them to remove that chair from there. Because somebody will look at it and think we are part of it. Some even think it is my seat. I even think it is my seat. Praise the Lord. I said, let them remove it. Because some people think in the church, immediately we close. Some people climb on top of there and lie down there. I know where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from. In the book of Nehemiah, that is where we saw podium. An elevation where Nehemiah will come and climb, and because he has to be above the people so that everybody will see him. It is a podium. Hallelujah. It is a podium. If you want to do anything for everybody to see you, that is why we come here. This city here is to enable us to see everybody. So that if we see anybody, they run mad for one corner there, we will see, then we will run and go and take care of it. That's why we're sitting here. The musicians sing here for everybody to see them. That's why they're elevated there. This place here, so that where the preacher preach, everybody can see him. If you take this place beyond that, what it is now, you have joined them. 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 Oh yes. Now, but listen. In this church, we do a lot of prophetic actions. When I tell you that, yes, this is an altar. I do know Job raised an altar. Jacob raised an altar. In Israel, they will always raise an altar. Even in your house, you can dedicate a place where you come by faith to make, you know, your prayers, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with it. It is not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. Because the true altar is not a physical structure. The true altar is your heart. It's your heart. God does not meet you here. God meets you in your heart. God meets you in your heart. Take note of that. Now, if I decide to put here restoration altar, what I am saying there is that here in this ministry, what our emphasis is restoration. Now, when they were dedicating the temple of Solomon, this was the prayer of Solomon. He said, if for any reason, anybody from anywhere enter trouble and they pray facing this altar, answer them, O Lord, because it was dedicated unto the Lord. And God's approval of that dedication came when the glory came down. Now, it is faith. It is not a doctrine. It is faith and not a doctrine. And I believe in beauty. I believe that we should beautify our environment. And so in verse 8, it speaks about the abominables. It is those are the abominations. The abominations that we are talking about. He said, see where they have their part. 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers. That's the reason why I was saying it. Abominables. It's part of the abomination. That type of altar is abomination. It's abomination. Whoremongers. That's fornicators. Fornicators and adulterers. And sorcerers. There are people that are not using genuine gift. They are not using genuine gift. They are using another spirit. Calling another Jesus. Preaching another gospel. And idolaters. Idol worshippers. If you have your faith in the picture of your pastor, you are an idolater. And all liars shall have their part. Where? In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My emphasis for reading verse 8 is the fearful. Those of us who are afraid and we are given in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That because of fear, you are bowing. I am saying that if you bow, you will burn. You bow because of fear. Fear of death. A bigger death is awaiting you. And so this is our expectation. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12. And in verse 10. And verse 12. He said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto what? Unto the death. They are ready to die. Hallelujah. They are ready to die. Die for what they stand for. They are not afraid of anything. And that was me. Say, Pastor Moses, he's very bold. He's very bold. Very, very bold. This man, you know the fear.
Fear what? Fear what? With this type of knowledge that I have. I will talk. I will call names. I will talk. If you know my own also, talk. If I'm doing anything to you too, talk. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a period that is coming up. The period where the whole world will be asked to take either of these three things. Those who will refuse to stand for the truth. Revelation chapter 13. It says, hallelujah. Verse 16. The Antichrist. He says, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Three things. The mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name of the beast. You will be asked to take either of these three. Listen, listen. You will be asked to bow. By taking this, you take a mark, and it's either on your forehead or on your right hand. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We are talking about somebody submitting and bowing. So what is the mark? Listen, the mark of the beast is not 666. Listen to this teaching very well. We are the bride. What is the mark of the beast? Everybody says the mark of the beast is 666. I hope the ministers are listening, because you too, you teach these things. All of us, including me, we have made that mistake. But when you begin to study, you just say, what are they talking, sir? It's different from what the Bible is saying. 666 is not the mark of the beast. So don't think that anybody, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. The mark, it means the mark, a mark there, it means it is something that identifies. There is a way that you will behave that will make you to be marked. It will identify you. There is a mark. And one of the mark of the beast is your form of worship. The way you worship. The way you act. The way you live your life. It marks you out. It stands you out that this is where you belong. If you enter their church and you see a shrine that is there, it is a mark of the beast. Any compound, you see a shrine there. They didn't write 666 there, but there is a beast there. It's the Antichrist power. Just when you enter there, it is a mark of the Antichrist. Their altar. The kind of music they play. The kind of dress they dress. It doesn't matter, someone. And you identify with it. You are marked out. The next one, or the name of the beast. The name of the beast. Hallelujah. I am Catholic. That is the name. If you, the name you bear. If it has any link with the beast in any way, you are already part of it. That means
you will be forced to belong and take upon yourself the name of a system. And he talk about, or you will bear the number of his name. Hallelujah. To bear the number of his name. The number of his name. Hallelujah. Is the number of the name that is 666. And that name, that number is given for identification. So that you will know who that Antichrist is. And you bear that name. You bear the number of that name. 666. So don't say 666 is the mark of the beast. Mm-mm. The mark of the beast is something that identify you, and it is already on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have an assurance. Why did Christ go through all he went through? Because there was a revelation he had for the joy that is set before him. He saw something that enabled him to go through the sufferings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stephen, while they were persecuting him, suddenly at the stage where he should be crying, he started laughing. Why was he laughing? Wow, God opened his eyes and he saw his Savior that he stood for, seated at the right hand of glory. And he was, maybe he saw him saying, come on, just come. Stephen said, what are they waiting for now? I want to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul says, I have fought a good fight of faith. And he was sure that henceforth there's a crown of glory that awaits him. He saw something that is awaiting him. That's why he could go through all the sufferings that he went through. And he could say confidently, for me to die is gain. And if I will live, I will live for Christ. What's that separate me from the love of God? That is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Apostle Paul, he had a revelation. And let us read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. 29 and 30. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1. I'm closing. 28 and verse 29. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. And in nothing terrified, scared, discouraged by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you, what you are going through is of salvation and that of God. All the suffering we go through. For unto you, it is given in the behalf of Christ. Listen very well. Not only to believe on him. You are not to believe only on him. But also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me. Apostle Paul said, are now here to be in me. Take note. We are not only to believe on Christ. But we are also called to suffer for his sake. Whatever you are going through, if it is because of your stand, rejoice in it. Finally, Hebrews chapter 10. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's stagger that reading. Verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For it's faithful that promised. Go to verse 35. Hallelujah. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come we come and we not tarry. Now the church shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And he added, hallelujah. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just one more scripture, chapter 12. I want to just emphasize this admonishment of Apostle Paul. Verse 1 to 4. Therefore, he says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, as we have been speaking, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the apostles, Daniel, and all those multitudes that went through tribulation, and now they are clothed in fine and white robes. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run this race with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Go to verse 12. He said, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Go to verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, even as we are speaking now. Christ himself has spoken. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth concerning Moses in the wilderness, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, Christ Jesus himself, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have a grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads.
No other argument I prefer.
The only prayer we need now is grace to follow. Give me grace to follow.
Abundant grace to follow.
Give me grace
to follow.
And that should be your prayer point.
Your grace is enough.
Now, it's not easy. It's not easy. We are talking of serious persecution, trials, temptations that many of us are going through even now. And it looks as if God has turned his back against us. He has not turned his back. Lie. He's allowing you to walk out your salvation. He's allowing you to walk out your crown. They say if you bow, you will die. It's a lie. If you submit, you will lose your birthright. You will lose all the glory that is awaiting us now. But give me grace to follow. Just give me grace. Give me grace. Just give me grace. Give me grace.
Your grace is enough for me,
Lord. Give me grace. talking to Christians. I'm not talking to churchgoers. Churchgoers are those that disturb themselves about the church they belong. No, I'm talking to Christians all over the world. I'm talking to Christians, talking to believers. I will not look back again. I will not look back. I've made up my mind. Under any condition, I will serve you. And I know you will see me through. You will see me through.
Decided to follow Jesus.
To follow him, you will carry his cross. So you will carry his cross. So you will carry his cross. So
to follow Jesus.
May he promise to see us through.
I have
it will not be too heavy for us to carry. We can carry it. He will make it light for us. That is the confidence we have. He will make it light. He will make it light for us. So carry it. Carry it. Oh, carry it.
No. No turning back. I have decided.
Jesus' name we pray. And this is a prayer that we pray in our privacy. If I've said anything that means anything to you, quicken to you, then in your privacy, your private prayers, talk to God. Lord, help me. By strength will not man prevail. Everything is by his grace. But we have an assurance. He will never give you a cross you cannot bear. Even when they want to kill you, there is a grace that will come upon you and you will freely submit. No fear. Whatever you are going through, child of God, know that God is aware of it. If he's not answering you, he's preparing something better for you ahead. And he will give you grace. He's aware of your situation. He's aware of the problem you are going through. And always remember that what we're going through is because it's for Christ's sake. God's decision we have made. May the Lord see us through in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we stand up? Let this be our last prayer. See me through, Lord Jesus, see me through. Sing it, everybody.
See me through. Oh, yeah.
Lord Jesus.
See me through. There is a race.
Say it, everybody.
There is a race.
I must run.
There is a victory to be won. Lord, give me power. Every hour, Lord, see me.
Say it again.
Lord, see me
say
true,
it.
Lord.
It's our prayer.
See me true,
Lord Jesus. See me true.
Lord, see me true.
Oh, see me true.
Lead me on.
Lord Jesus. There is a race.
There's a race.
I must run.
There's a victory.
There is a victory to be won.
Lord, give me power.
Give me power.
Every eye.
Every eye.
Lord, give
me. One more time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
To be
one.
Please give me power.
Give me power.
Every eye.
Every eye.
Lord,
may the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.